All right, what's up, guys? What's up, midweek? Let's go! What's today's date? Who's still in school, by the way? Is anybody in school already? Omar, Daniel, Daryl's in school. Sue, you're in school already? Oh, man. Maybe we could pray for the first 15 minutes of my lesson just for you guys. Well, I want to say it's great being together. Brielle and I were gone last week. We were in Florida, and it was amazing, okay? So last Wednesday wasn't amazing. We were 22 hours down straight, but then to get back, it took about 40 hours to get back. And so I do not recommend driving through Georgia in a snowstorm. But when we were in Florida, not last Sunday, but Sunday before, we got to worship with the Broward County Church of Christ. So our brothers and sisters down about an hour above Miami. And it was funny because it was a great church service, awesome disciples. But in their welcome, they said something that really disturbed my soul. Okay, I want to share it with you. They said, now mind you, it was 65 degrees and sunny. They were complaining about how winter has come so hard this year for them. Like, are you kidding me? I was like, man, y'all a bunch of liars. But it was amazing being together. But it helped me appreciate more our group here. Because if that's what they consider struggling, then we're like super struggling. And the Bible says consider it pure joy because it leads to maturity and character. So we're like the most spiritual group there is. Right. So let's thank God for the core, right? Come on. We're going to have some fun tonight. But before I begin, we're going to take a couple of minutes. And I sent out a text message to all you guys. If you didn't get it, feel free to stand up and share. But we're going to begin our lesson talking about what are your goals for this semester? If you could be fruitful in one area, what is it that you want to see God do through you? Okay, so do you guys have some stuff you want to share?
Come on.
Awesome. I hope so. Raise your hand if you got something you want to share. Maybe we'll go to like six or seven people, and then we'll begin the lesson. But what are some goals that you've got that God's put on your heart for this semester? All right, go ahead, Willie. You stand up in your spot. You're good. You can stand in your spot, and I'll finish your sandwich for you. Hello.
My main goal is to get my best friends to start saying.
That's awesome. Come on. Guys, give it up for somebody with this year. That's awesome. Come on, Willie. All right, who else? You got some goals they want to share? Shakira, you have something? Go ahead, my friend.
Hey. I guess my goal would be to go deeper with God, because I think a lot of times I could put him on the back burner and focus on what's going on now.
Yeah.
So I guess 2018 is like putting him on that front burner, you know?
Yeah. Hey. Come on, Shay, that's awesome. Putting God on the front burner, not the back burner. Josh, what you got?
Yo.
Yo. What's up, dude? About West Jersey. West Jersey, best Jersey. Go ahead. Nicole in the back.
Come on, Nicole.
Come on, Coco.
Yeah. Serve the poor more. That's awesome. Come on, I'll give it up for Nicole. How about two more? What does God put on your heart? Let's go one, two. Sweet.
Awesome. So one of my goals is to be very intentional with my family and sharing my faith with them. So like having studies with my mom, reaching out to my brothers and having studies with them. Because they're open to it, but I just have to put in the extra effort to make it happen.
Right. So. That's awesome. Yeah, family study Bible. This is the year, 2018. Kyrie.
So, all right, I know you said goals, amen. So number one, to see my mom become a disciple.
That's nice. Awesome.
And then the second is to love people the way that God does without expecting anything back. So I just want to love from a place of like what I have with Jesus, and then just give that to people and like see what God does.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Kyrie wants to be like Jesus this year. That's awesome. Give it up. Give it up. All right. Now, if we could sum up in one word everything that was just said, and for those of you who didn't share goals, because I know you got some goals brewing in there.
We do.
The word that could sum it all up is fruitful.
Yeah.
This year, I want to look back. I'll say this semester. I want to look back at my semester and say that this was a fruitful semester.
Amen.
Okay? Now, John 15, turn there really quick with me. We're not going to spend too much time there, but it set the precedence for what we're talking about, being fruitful. John 15, verse 2. We'll go to verse 1. Let me know you're there. Go ahead and say fruitful once you get there.
Fruitful.
Y'all are saying that too quick. I know you're lying. That's crazy. I'm not calling you liars. Okay. John 15, verses 1 and on. I, talking about Jesus, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Let's pause there. Is anyone a gardener here? Anybody do a little bit of side gardening? I know Daryl is. He's trying to convince me. Jordan's helping out. Okay, maybe your parents have a little tomato patch or something. If you're a gardener, by the time harvest season occurs, what do you hope to have?
Fruit.
Fruit, right? Another word for fruit is produce. You have your produce section. So we understand that God is the gardener, and as a result of God being the gardener, he desires what?
Fruit.
He desires fruit. Okay, let's keep going. In verse 2, it says, he cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it be even more fruitful. You are already clean because the word I've spoken to you remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Okay. If you're like me, maybe you hear this word fruit and you automatically think numerics. Maybe you automatically think, how many people can I help get to Christ this semester? My goal is to be two people fruitful, right? Maybe we assume it with people, okay? But we're going to take one step further here and look a little deeper. This word karpos is a Greek word. Don't remember it. You don't have to. It's just cool. There's some Greek in the Bible. And this word fruit is literally translated work, act, or deed. Okay. So what does that mean? Unfortunately, sometimes when we look at this word fruit and how God desires us to be fruitful, we look at that as simply, in the myopic version, of bearing fruit, helping people become Christians. Okay? That's awesome. Unfortunately, that's a small part of what being fruitful truly means.
Amen?
Amen? And so when God says he wants his people to be fruitful, that you cannot bear fruit apart from me, what he's really saying is that I want my people from out of a place of their inward being to produce something, an act, a word, a deed, an attitude, a thought, an action, to produce something that is glorifying to me.
Amen.
Okay? We look back at, I'm just going to kind of set the standard for what we're talking about today. You look at Galatians 5:19, and you look at Galatians 5:21. We're not going to look there because I'll get some oohs from the crowd, right? Galatians 5:19. Well, you look at Galatians 5:19 and 21, Galatians 5:19 is talking about the fruits of the flesh. When a life is controlled by the flesh, look at what it produces.
Right, right, right.
That's really the context of that passage. But then you look at the fruits of the Spirit,
come on.
And we often can look at the fruits of the Spirit and go, those are individual fruits that I want to possess. And that's great to do that, have some quiet times on that. But when you look at the fruits of the Spirit, what that really is talking about is a person who is led by the Spirit in their core. These are fruits that are produced as a result of that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, right.
So what we're going to be talking about today, I mean, we could do a lesson talking about dreaming. We could do a lesson about being fruitful. And what does it look like to be fruitful? And we could really do that, but I don't think we need another lesson about that. Because we do have dreams. We do have desires. But what I really think we need to do is we need to go back and figure out, well, God, what is the way you've designed for me to be fruitful?
Amen. Come on, man.
How do I get to be someone who's fruitful? How can I look back at this semester and look at all that you've done through me and consider that a fruitful semester? And so what we're talking about, here's the lesson title for tonight, is healthy roots equal a wealth of fruits.
Amen.
All right? Now, it would be foolish of me. We don't have any. There's a tree in the back. You don't have to turn there. I'm looking for some vegetation. So it would be ridiculous if you got an apple tree in your backyard and that apple tree is not producing apples. Would that be a problem? Okay. Wouldn't it be crazy if you went into that apple tree and then you just started hacking at all the branches? Before you look at it, all you got is like a telephone pole in your backyard. You got like no branches, you just got the root. Is that going to produce fruit?
No.
Never. Because why? The fruit itself isn't the problem. It's the root that has the issue. Okay? When you address the root and take care of the roots, naturally as a result, the fruit will be produced. Okay? So this lesson tonight isn't going to be a crazy lesson. It's not going to be a hard lesson to remember. It's a very, very simple lesson. And I'm sure it's something you've heard a variation of so many different ways. But tonight, we're going to be talking about going back to the basics and developing deep roots. Because only when you have deep roots that are healthy, spiritual roots that are healthy between you and God, then you will be able to produce fruit and fruit that will last. Amen? All right, go ahead and look at the scripture, Colossians 1, 9 through 11. You can turn there if you want. I'll turn there with you. Colossians 1, 9 through 11. We got to understand, like we said about the gardener, it pleases God for us to bear fruit. In verse 9, it says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way." Continuing. How do you please God? Bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance. And it goes on. But we got to understand that the purpose of tonight, the purpose of what we're talking about, isn't for ourselves. It's not so that we can look back at the semester and feel good that we were fruitful. But we can look back and go, we glorify God through being fruitful for him. All right? So the things we're going to talk about tonight, maybe you've heard this a lot, but I ask you not to tune out. And here's why. And this is a very simple question. Chew on it while we're speaking here. Am I doing these things? Am I really doing these things? My 2 points today is we got to be people of prayer.
Amen.
And then babes of the Bible study.
Come on, man.
All right?
Come on, bro.
And so we'll be talking about that stuff, but be asking yourself, am I doing this and how can I incorporate this in my life?
Man.
Being a people of prayer. Now I'm going to read a quotation from a book that many of us are reading about the spiritual disciplines. Who's going to our spiritual disciplines class tomorrow?
Come on.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I've been to one already. This is my second one. I couldn't get enough, and so I needed some more. But in this class, we're talking about what does it look like? What did Jesus do? And how can we follow in his footsteps or the things he did?
Right.
So what's this guy's name? Celebration of Disciplines, Richard Robert Frost, something like that. Okay. Foster the people. Okay, here we go. Listen to this quote. He goes, "In our efforts to pray, it is easy for us to be defeated right at the outset because we have been taught that everything in the universe is already set, and so things cannot be changed. And if things cannot be changed, why pray? We may gloomily feel this way, but the Bible does not teach that. The Bible prayers prayed as if their prayers could and would make an objective difference. The Apostle Paul gladly announces that we, get this word, are co-laborers with God. That is, we are working with God to determine the outcome of events. 1 Corinthians 3:9. It is Stoicism that demands a closed universe, not the Bible. This comes as a genuine liberation to many of us, but it also sets tremendous responsibility before us. We are working with God to determine the future. Certain things will happen in history if we pray rightly. We are to change the world by prayer. What more motivation do we need to learn this loftiest human exercise? You guys catch that? Being people of prayer isn't simply because it's a good idea. It's because God has designed us to be co-laborers with Him. He didn't make the world in this closed circuit where He is just moving the pawn pieces, making things happen, but rather He has opened the door that we get to enter into a mode with Him and work together.
Right.
But how do we do that? It's through prayer that He invites us to join Him. Okay? So what's this prayer all about? We're going to play a quick game called Name That Remedy.
Oh.
All right? Does anybody like medicine here?
Me.
Oh, I love medicine. As a kid, I used to do the children's Motrin. It's like bubble gum. Oh, my goodness. Yo, that was good. I think I used to fake getting sick. So Name That Remedy. Join me in this game. What we're going to do is we're going to look at the uses. We're going to look at some of the uses of these different cold medicines and whatnot. And I want you guys to guess what the remedy it is that we're talking about. Does that make sense? We got four. First up, the uses to relieve pain, headaches, aches. You got to raise your hand if you think you know it. Okay. To reduce pain, headache, aches, arthritis, reduce fever, and to relieve minor aches due to flu or cold. Who thinks they got it? Nicole. Tylenol, close, close. We got there. What did you say? Ibuprofen. Is that the same thing as Advil? All right, yeah, come on. You know your remedies, girl. That's good, that's good. Up next, let's see what you got. Uses. It treats symptoms caused by the common cold, flu, cough suppressant, and it may, unfortunately, result in drowsiness. All right, let's go Jordan in the back. Robitussin? I don't know if that's the street name. What is it called? Maybe. What is it? Is it NyQuil? It is NyQuil. Oh, snap. You gotta use that stuff. What's the remedy? Next one. It's a good one. It soothes a cold.
Hey.
Listen to this word. It moistens nasal passages. It prevents dehydration. It fights inflammation in the throat. Who thinks they got it? Eden.
Nasalex?
No. Mucinex? No. Yeah. Is it Theraflu? No. Two more guesses. Robitussin? Still know that it is. No. What? Vicks? No. The answer is Grandma's Home Cooking. The internet said these things, okay? Trust the internet. Grandma's chicken noodle soup. It's a proven thing. You guys stay with me. Here we go. What are we talking about? Last one. Uses. Reduces and relieves anxiety. Provides strength. Allows for better decision making. Provides a sense. Hey, raise your hand. Stop. There's order. Provides a sense of inexplicable peace, allows for expression of joy, prevents from falling to temptation, provides healing for us and our enemies, changes both heart and mind, us and our enemies, receive anything we ask for, provides safety, aligns ourselves with God's will. We're not done. Put your hands down. Overcome impossible situations, provides strength and endurance, preparation for future events, opens doors and opportunities. Allows for surrender and obedience. Allows for forgiveness for us and our enemies. We're not done. It provides direction and wisdom. It gives you a better understanding of God. Allows others to be one day saved. Gospel spreads more rapidly. A transcending peace. Grows in faith. Provides concentration. Consecration. Amen. Made holy. And it may influence weather patterns. Who's got it?
Hello.
What is it?
What is it?
No, it's not the Bible. Well, maybe. The Bible talks about it. Oh, it's prayer. Come on. You know, it's funny. It's funny how quickly we turn to all these different things.
Right.
It's quickly how we turn to all these different remedies to try and heal what's going on in our soul. But what's amazing is that prayer destroys Advil. Prayer destroys grandma's soup. Prayer provides so much. And God has invited us to share in that with Him. And if you notice all of these things, now what I did, this was simply just from the New Testament. I went through the entire New Testament and searched the word pray and looked at all the context passages that talked about prayer. That was the New Testament alone. That was 190 instances. You know how many instances the word prayer is used in the Bible or to pray? 367. You know how many days there are in a year? 365. A leap year, 366. Or 364. I don't know. The truth is, there are more instances of prayer in the Bible than there are days in the year. I think God's trying to teach us something through that. How's your prayer life, guys? Is it something you're doing consistently that you're eager for? If you had something like this in your life that gave you all those causes and all those results, wouldn't you use that consistently? Go to James chapter, you don't turn there. James 4, 2b through 3 says, you don't have because you do not ask God. Jeez. I think about my life and I think about the last couple of years of my life and of all the things that could have happened if I was a warrior for prayer. If I was desperate for God prayer and for God to work, because He can do anything. Let me ask Him and enter into His sanctuary. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Okay? Now you got to think, there are wrong ways to pray. I think one of those wrong ways to pray is praying to impress God or praying to impress others. Maybe you struggle with this. And I struggle with this in my times of prayer sometimes. I'll get time with God and I'm like trying to write a sonnet. You know, I'm trying to like, God, thou art holy amongst all of the fields, right? You might start doing this. It's like, man, think about this. God created the universe from His breath. God created the structure of a cell. God created the grass of the fields and everything beautiful that you can consider. He made Shakespeare. He made language. He made syntax and the order that it comes in. You don't need to impress God with prayer. All that God wants from you, and we see this because Jesus sets the example. Jesus prays, Abba, Daddy.
Yeah.
Jesus lays it down. He goes, I'm not trying to sound good or to impress anybody. I'm just trying to come to my God and have a relationship with Him.
Right.
You know, that's the wrong way to do it. The right way to do it is to invite God into your life, to invite God in prayer. You know, the wrong way is trying to impress people with wrong motives, but rather the right way is, God, help me out. Help me out with my friends and with my school, with my family. All those things that we want to be fruitful about, if you're not praying for it and you're not praying with God for it, you are going to miss out on what God really wants to do.
Right.
Prayer unlocks areas of our life and of our fruitfulness
right.
that we could never, ever, ever by ourselves.
Right.
Okay? Prayer is the game changer. You know, I had a chance to talk to the brothers who lead the church in the campus ministry in North River. And Mark, correct my facts if I'm wrong. But in North River last year in their campus ministry, or in the last 2 years, they baptized 90 people.
Wow.
Is that right? Something statistically like that. They baptized 90 people. And I'm like, dude, you know, where's the notebook, man? You guys got the codes somewhere. How do you do this? Where are the cheat codes? But I asked him, I was like, what's the difference? What'd you guys do? And he said, for many years, we got stuck around 60, 70 disciples in our ministry. And the big difference is we had a retreat, we realized we needed to pray, and we started praying like crazy. And that next year, we baptized 70 people. So what's the difference? Prayer is the difference.
Right.
Prayer is the difference. This semester, if you decide to incorporate prayer into the root of who you are, to make it a conviction to be who it is you're going to be, prayer will change the game forever.
Amen.
We could talk about this for a long time. practicals, let's just look at it really quick. Journaling, you know, sometimes journaling your prayers works really well. If you get distracted, you could write down, simply write at the pace that you really should think. Going for prayer walks, for drives. I cannot stay in my apartment and pray. I have to pace, and it's like I'm confined. Then I like look out a window, and that's it, and I watch. But I love going for prayer walks, maybe going for prayer drives. Something that happens is one time when we pray, we get distracted. Praying together, I've found, works really well. The Bible says, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Try praying together if you're stuck in a rut. And lastly, fasting and prayer together is a crazy combination. Try that. If you're stuck in your prayer life, try to incorporate some fasting. Maybe go a day or two without food, maybe just water, or a day or a sunrise and sunset with no food. It's a game changer. Amen? All right, we're gonna hustle through this last section here. Babes with the Bible.
All right.
Uh-oh. Some of you people might be offended by the word babe. What I mean by this is honey, friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, lovely. You gotta fall in love with the Bible.
Yep.
The Bible's gotta be your baby girl. The Bible's gotta be what you love and what you treasure. Okay? Can that be said about you? You know, look at John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So get this. Why is the Bible such a big deal for our roots being healthy before we're fruitful? God, in his total power and his majesty, he spit out stars. He did all that he did. God, who can make anything happen in a split second, could rip open the sky and end it all right now. That God has given us a 1,400-page window into who he is. That God who knows everything and can do everything could have very much let us just be by ourselves and take care of our life and figure it out. But he goes, I want you to know who I am. You know, I love speeches. I love listening to them. Some of my favorite, I love listening to MLK. I go driving, I'm just like, man, this dude is awesome, right? I listen to JFK and his speech, specifically about them going to the moon for the first time and how they're trying to beat the space rush. I listen to, Nelson Mandela and how inspiring of a man he is. My favorite speaker of all time, though, is Winston Churchill. And Winston was the prime minister of England during World War II or World War I. And what I learned about him and listened to his biography and whatnot, is that for every time he spoke, every minute that he spoke, he spent 2 hours in preparation for that minute. Wow. And so if he was given a 15-minute speech, he spent 30 hours in preparation for that speech. And we love hearing it. It's inspiring. But what's crazy about the Bible is it says here that the Bible was, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Bible is a book that is not 2,000 years old, not 3,000 years old, but is millenniums, millions, billions. Since God was the Alpha Omega, that's where the Bible was. This is a book that's extended past mankind, extended past history, because the Bible was there. Now, the Bible is a book that's not necessarily about times and places and history, and those are good things you can learn from the Bible, but what we learn in the Bible is the nature of the man's and the woman's soul. We learn the nature of who God is and who man is and how we should respond as a result of that. And as a result, it has withstood the millions, the billions, in the last couple thousand years. The Bible is amazing, guys.
Yeah, come on, man.
It's a treasured, incredible book. Consider the claims. The Bible says that through it, you can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Right. Anything that comes your way, you can be equipped to handle it. That's like Life for Dummies, but then written by God. You can experience John 8, 31, 32. To the Jews who I believe, he holds to my teachings and you're really my disciples, then you know the truth and the truth will set you free. When you hold to the Bible, you experience truth and freedom. Good luck trying to find that anywhere else. Separating concrete sins. Hebrews 4 talks about how separating joint from marrow, soul from spirit. The Bible can take parts of your life that you would say are integral to who you are. Sins and mistakes. Flaws. And the Bible can literally separate those two things from you. This is the only book through osmosis, through reading, through obeying. It will change you. There's no other book in the world that does that. It's the answer sheet for the final, which is Judgment Day. And this is what's crazy, guys. When you sit down and you're having your little breakfast and you're reading your Bible and you're sitting at the, you know, the coffee counter or whatever, and you open your Bible, John 1 says the word, God is the word, word is God, God is with word, all that stuff. Word equals God. In some transcendent way, when you sit down for your times with God, when you decide to open the Bible, you are literally sitting across from God. God is talking to you.
Amen.
It's more than just reading the words in the book. It's God having a conversation with you. You know, our temptation ought to be do nothing else but read, rather than what it often is, do everything else and not read. We should be spending so much time in prayer and reading the Bible, of course. We got to be eating this up. You know, your growth and fruitfulness will be a direct result of your time spent in the Word this semester.
Amen.
Your growth and who you are and what is going to be produced will have a direct correlation to the hours, to the time, to the meditation that you spend in the Word of God. You cannot hope to be fruitful if you're not taking care of your roots, involving God into that. Amen? I want to share a little bit and we'll close out here. My sophomore year, My sophomore year, the summer going into my sophomore year, was a crazy year. I think Chelsea can attest to this, and Rob. It was a crazy year. And without getting into too much details, there was a girl that I liked that went to the summer together. It didn't work out well. I was a hot mess. I didn't really know what to do. I went to ICMC in St. Louis. And Glenn Petruzzi goes up there, and he's just preaching. I have no idea what he's preaching about. He's getting fired up. He's bouncing. But the one thing I remember him saying was, we got to do the 90-day Bible challenge. You got to read the Bible in 90 days. He was telling how when he was cooking, you know, he was reading the Bible. He's on the toilet. He was reading the Bible. You know, he's like driving at a stoplight, and he's reading the Bible. And I was fired up. And the crazy thing he said was that over the course of the time that he started reading the Bible, he was a hot mess too. Things started to change. People started to recognize a difference in who he was. And I was like, I need that. Thank you. Okay. I went home that summer, and from August to beyond 90 days, right, I just started reading the Bible like crazy. I mean, I would read like, I don't know, 16 chapters a day. I was just trying to get the Bible in my system. That sophomore semester, we baptized nobody the previous year, but that sophomore semester in the beginning, we baptized two people at William Patterson, two men at William Patterson, I think one girl at William Patterson. It was amazing. But not only that, the semester continued to go, and my character, that was like the semester I go back and I go, that was the semester my character changed. Wow. Right? The end of that semester, into February, I continued reading the Bible, and I finally finished it in February. I finally finished the entire Bible in 5 months. It was a great victory, maybe 6 months, whatever number. I say five. It was amazing. And then right after I finished, I was in a place spiritually where Brielle and I could start dating. And then 2 years later, I proposed to her on that same day, and then we got married. Okay. So is reading your Bible going to give you a wife or a husband? Not the moral of the story, okay? Come on, y'all. But reading in the Bible and meditating the Bible, chewing on it, letting it fixate in your heart, as David talks about in the Psalms, letting it rock your conscience, reading large amounts, reading small amounts, getting in the Bible every day will change who you are for the better every time.
Amen.
How is your Bible study? What's your Bible study going to be like this semester? Because only then, when you have strong Bible study, will you be fruitful this semester. A couple of practicals. Practical number one, ask questions. I recommend everybody, one of the practicals here, I'm just going to give it to you anyway. Bring a notebook into your quiet times with God. As you're reading the Bible, bring a notebook. And next to it, when there's a part that's challenging, write down, am I doing this? What does this mean for me? What does this mean for the people around me? Ask questions in your Bible study. Go deeper. Memorize scriptures. I've heard it said that if it's not in your heart, it's not on your heart. Okay? We got to be memorizing scriptures. Bringing it out when we're tempted, when we're struggling. Having things that are developed and deep into our heart. Maybe study some specific word. You want to grow in your patience this semester. You want to grow in your faithfulness. Why not go to Bible Gateway and search faith? Search patience and exhaust every word that's in the Bible in every context that's there. Bring your notebook and lastly, read the word. Read as much as you can. Read it in season, out of season. Read it when you're about to go to bed. Read it when you wake up. Read it when you wake up in the middle of the night and you have nothing else to do. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. It will change you. And here's what I say. To be fruitful requires having healthy roots. To be fruitful this semester, to make this semester that's going to blow you away, that's going to bring our ministry from 60, 70 to 100, to 120, to 140, and you get to be a part of what God wants to do, it starts with your prayer and with your Bible study. To see God do amazing things, that's where it's got to start. Amen. You guys excited this semester to begin with reading and praying, deepening our roots with God?
Yes.
Because here's a really cool thing. We do that, the fruit will naturally flow. The fruit's going to come. Our actions are going to change. People are going to become disciples. But it all starts at the root. Making sure your root is well fed, is spiritual, is getting the help that it needs. Because then we're going to see some incredible fruit happen this semester. Thank you, guys. Come on.